I've got a little thought tonight. The Lord's laid on our heart, and we've carried it around for, I guess, for several days now. I'd ask if you would just pray for us, and that we'd be able to bring it out in a way to be pleasing unto the Lord. And if you're here tonight, you're lost, and by some of you's testimony, something ain't changed since last night, you're lost, and we want you to be saved. And that's our heart desire, that you might be saved. As Paul said, his heart's desire for Israel, that they might be saved, and that's what our heart desire is for you tonight, that you might be saved. Our thought is going to be what you're running from, and what are you waiting for? I know what you're running from. You're running from the Lord. You need to be running to the Lord. And we're going to take a reading lesson out of Genesis, and the book, chapter 29, and we find that Jacob had, Esau had sold his brother Jacob his birthright. And then we find where Rebekah and Jacob had deceived Isaac and stole the blessing, or Esau's blessing. And after that, Esau was very angry. And don't get me wrong, I believe Jacob was supposed to rule over his brother. The younger was supposed to rule, but the way it went about it, it was wrong. Amen. It was deception, and it was a lie. That's just all it is to it. God, I believe, would have made a way without them having to do that. But Esau was very angry, and I'll be honest with you, I don't much blame him for being angry. Amen. But he was so angry, he was out to get his brother.
Amen.
And we find where Rebekah wanted Isaac to send him away and send him away to Laman's, her brother's house, that Esau might not get a hold of him. So we find then Jacob gets to Luz, that later he called Bethel. And that's where the Jacob's ladder we talk about, where he dreamed a dream and saw the angels going up and down the ladder. And then he made a covenant there with the Lord, a vow with the Lord. He took a rock for a pillar and then he ended up become a pillar. He took it as a pillar and ended up being a pillar. He made it to a pillar unto the Lord. But then you get in the 29th chapter, and that's where we want to read from. And he's going on his way to Laman's house. And he said, then Jacob went on his journey, and he came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, the well in the field, and lo, there were flocks of the sheep lying by it. And far out of that well they watered the flocks. And it had a great stone was upon it, the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth. And they watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be ye? And they said unto him, of Haran, and are we? And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with a sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together? Whether water ye the sheep and go and feed them? And they said, we cannot until the flocks be gathered together, till they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laman, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock, and Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob and told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that Rachel and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. And with the mistakes we made reading, we it was read down here to the 12th verse, and we find where Jacob had got there to this land, this field, and he saw the people gathered around there, the shepherds there with the sheep, and they was waiting for everyone to get there that had said that they would roll the stone away from the mouth of the well where they could water the sheep before they fed them. And it had done got all up in the day, and Jacob asked a question. You know, he said, "Why ain't you feeding the sheep? Why are you still sitting here at the well?" And they said, "We've got to wait for everybody to get here before we can roll it back." And my thought is what are you waiting for? And I thought about this well, and I want you to understand tonight that the reason that stone was on that well was, I don't know what all it was to keep out, but it was to keep something out. I don't know if it was maybe the children around there had to keep from God coming and getting in the well. Maybe it was just to keep out. They said, I read a little history on it, and it said it's a desert place. Maybe it was just to keep the filth out of the well. I don't know. But there was a great stone put on that well to keep everything out, and they could not move the stone till all the sheep was got gathered there. And so they had to sit and wait. And it seemed Rachel was running a little bit late here, but we find that Jacob didn't understand why they didn't go ahead and get the water that they needed. And that's what my thought is tonight. It's why ain't you getting the what you need, going to the well and getting the water that you need? What are you waiting for? And so we want to go here and we're going to take our text over here in Revelation, and we'll try to get around to our overthought here in a little while. Y'all pray for us. And the 21st chapter of the Revelation, it said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that asks a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I said, listen to me. A fountain here means spring or well. And I want you to know he has the living water and it's free tonight. What are you waiting for? I get a hold of this tonight. I want you to know there's been a way made that you can drink of that water. We find over there when he come to the Samaritan woman there at the well. He come to her, and he was there with her, and he asked her if I drank the water, and she said, "Why would you ask me? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And he told her, he said, "If thou don't who speak to thee, you would ask of me of water, and I'd give you a drink of water that would spring up into everlasting life." And she said, "Sir, this well is deep, and you have nothing to draw with." And I want you to know she was right in that. There's no way you can get that living water on your own. You've got to have the help of God. And I want you to know when you go to this well here, you can get a drink of water that'll last you all your life. And not only all your life, Brother Barry said other last night, when you get saved, you're made alive. Amen and amen. You're dead in trespasses and sins. You're just dead as a door now. But when you drink of this water, you'll become alive. And not only you'll be alive then, you'll have everlasting life. Amen. What are you waiting for? I remember the night I got saved. There's been many times that I've got dry. I don't know about y'all. I come over here and preach one time about being dehydrated. I'd just took my wife and her brother out to eat, and I'd worked all day the day before, and I ended up, my sugar went low, and I passed out on them there in a restaurant. They took me up there, and they said, his sugar's bottomed out. They said, he's dehydrated. Everything was low, and they began to talk about how I was dehydrated, and I thought, you have no idea. At that time, I was spiritually in such a bad shape. I want you to know, once you drink of this water, you will never thirst again for salvation, but you can get dry. I want you to realize that. And I got so dry and dehydrated spiritually, and I needed a great awakening, and our churches have got that way too. I think it would hurt none of us to go by and check the well out every once in a while and go by and visit with him a little while. And I think that's why we've got where we're at now. Because a lot of us wanted to go visit with him a while. I ain't saying you lose your salvation or you have to drink of that water again. Once you drink of that water, you'll never thirst again for salvation. But I want you to know you're doing better than I have if you've never got a little dry or a little dehydrated along the way. None of this is my thought. It really ain't. But I felt like we had to talk about some of it to get to my thought. I got to think about all that water. I got to thinking about the rich man. Have y'all ever really thought about that? How he desired that Lazarus just put his finger in the water and put it on and it might cool his tongue. I have to be honest. I've preached on it and I've thought about it a whole lot. I never really understood how much comfort of somebody in a hell that's hotter than the sun. I could get much comfort from a drop of water, Brother Barry. I just never could understand that. But then you know what I thought about, Brother David, finally this last week? Where that drop of water come from? He said that Lazarus may come. There was a water run out from the throne of God. I want to tell you, you drip with that water. Honey, it won't only change a man. It'll change everything. But he wasn't going to get it. He couldn't get that drip of water. That water that Lazarus could have went over at the throne of God, dipped his finger down in and brought it to him. And honey, it would have changed all. One little drip of water would change torment to rejoicing. But he could not get it. Never thought about it like that before. Just one drip will change everything. Honey, he'll give you a drink if you want it. And your cup can run over. But that's still where my thought come from. I never thought of that. And that's still. My thought come in that stone. And I thought about Jesus. I thought about all he went through to make a way. I thought about the things he suffered, how he was beat, how he was humiliated. They show his picture of him hanging on a cross in a little cloth diaper. I believe he hung there naked for the world to see. I believe there was shame there like none of us know. I believe they beat that man like no other man's ever been beat. But the worst part of it all was the nastiest thing I've ever done, and I've done some bad ones.
You may not have, but he died for that. He took it on. He felt that. He was innocent, more innocent than any baby's ever been born. We talk about babies being innocent. They're conceived in sin. Come forth from their mother's womb telling lies. Oh, that's why they got to be saved. It ain't because what they've done. They're not sinners because they sin. They sin because they're sinners. They're born that way. He never know nothing about sin. And he took yours. Yours. Man. That thing you've done that you wouldn't have anybody to know about. He hung there for it. And then the Bible says the veil was rent. He gave up the ghost, the veil was rent. And there was a way made. But it wasn't complete. You say, oh, he said it's finished. He kept the law. But there was still something had to be done. According to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 17th verse, if there's no resurrections, you are yet in your sins. So there had to be a resurrection. So there was a man named Joseph, a rich man, it says. He was a disciple. That proves rich men can be saved. That don't make no difference. He come and begged the body of Jesus. And him and one Nicodemus. I don't think old Nicodemus knows anything about it. But I believe he learned something about it. He come and begged for the body of Jesus. And he took it and he laid him in his own grave. And honey, they rolled a stone up on that grave. And they blocked her off. What are you waiting for? Y'all pray for me. We're finally getting where our thought is. I believe that you can believe what you want. They talk about Good Friday. I believe it was a good Wednesday. Amen. I believe about a 6 o'clock in the evening, I believe in all my heart they laid him in there perfectly at 6 o'clock in the evening. And I believe after 3 days and 3 nights, our Lord and Savior come out of the grave. I believe he was there he'd out of the grave way before the first day of the week, but it was still the first day of the week. Not way before the first day of the week, but way before daylight, way before morning, but it was still the first day of the week. You study it out. I ain't going to get into all that. But it says in Mark in the 16, and when the Sabbath passed and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome bought sweet spices and they might come and anoint him. And it was very early in the morning, the first day of the week, and they come to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? They couldn't roll it away. It was too much for them. I want you to remember what we read to you earlier over there. When they come to water the flocks, it said they. Over and over, it said they would roll the stone away. It took them all. So they had to wait. I want you to know they had to wait for access to be able to get there. I want you to know today God has made the access for you to be able to go and get a drink of that water. So we go here and we go to Matthew's gospel now, and we ain't going to be a whole lot longer, I pray. It said, in the end of the Sabbath, as it begun dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other, Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord from heaven came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. I want you to get that. I think that's important. He wanted them to know the earthquake didn't move the stone. The guards didn't move the stone. The disciples didn't move the stone. He wanted them to know when they got there, he was sitting there. He wanted them to know that God had move that stone. And it wasn't for Jesus to get out. It was for us to be able to go in, to have access to the Son of God. What are you waiting for? I used to think Jacob was scared to death of Esau. I about decided Esau might have should have been scared of Jacob. I'm going to go back over here and I'm worried to you one more time. I don't know if y'all paid attention to it while ago or not because I've been so scattered. And Jacob went on his journey and he come to the land of the people of these. And lo, behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto him, my brother, whence be ye? And he said, they said, of Haran. And are we? And they said, you know, ye Laban, the son of Nahor. And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. Behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day. Listen, you're going to keep putting this off too long one of these days. You need to be going to get your water. He said, it's high day. Then there's a time that the cattle should be gathered together. Why do you eat a sheep and go feed them? Listen to me. You need to be fed, but you can't be fed until you get water. Me and my son-in-law, deer hunting, we fix some food plots, make our own mark, and he talks about all the time, we've got to have access to water because they cannot digest what they're eating until they get some fluids in their stomach. Listen, you cannot digest the Word of God until you get some water that you might be able to digest it. So you first got to get some water. That's why it's so important that they watered them before they went and fed them. Listen to me, you cannot eat of this manna here, this Word of God, until you got some water in you. He said, lo, yet it's high day, neither time the cattle should be gathered together. Water the sheep and go feed them. And they said, we had not until the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the whale's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while they yet spake, then Rachel come with her father's sheep and kept them. And it came to pass that Jacob saw Rachel's daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and a sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the whale's mouth. You hear what I just said? It wasn't they. Jacob, by the help of God, rolled the stone away. The well is a picture of Jesus Christ. The stone is a picture of the access being blocked off to us. Jacob was a picture of the angel of God that came and rolled the stone away. Access has been made to Jesus Christ. You don't have to sit and wait. You say, well, we got to have the drawing power of God. You're right. That well's deep. It sure is. And no way you'll get no water out of it without your drawed of God. But once that drawing and you realize you're lost, you don't need to sit around at the mouth of the well and not do nothing about it. You better give it getting your drink of water. Or you'll be like the rich man. Just never had saw it like that before. I always thought, well, boy, that one little drop of water was going to do a whole lot of good. And you say, well, how you know? I don't know how hot hell is. I really don't. I know this. He's going to come back and he's going to destroy the sun with fire. He's going to destroy the stars with fire. If he can make it that hot, how hot can he make hell? I've heard people say the fiery furnace was a picture of hell. And it is a tight and shadow of it, but it ain't nothing on earth ever been that hot. Amen. You're going to experience a fire like you've never known before. And you're going to be separated from the love of God for eternity. Amen. And you're going to beg for that one little drop of water that Lazarus could reach down there in the fountain of life. The river of life, that one drop would change everything. But you're not going to get it. You sat at the mouth of the well too long. The stone is rolled back. And you've got access. And you're not doing a thing about it. You say, well, I'm trying. Stop trying and start trusting.
Amen.
I tried everything. And then I tried Jesus one time, and he saved my soul. I don't know how big of a drink I got that night, but I know I got enough that's going to take me home. Amen. It says it springs up into everlasting life. I'm thankful the Lord can show us some things every once in a while. I pray tonight he'll show you how much you need a drink of water. I reckon that was my thought. I want to say this. I'm thankful for what I've seen, for what we've seen. But I want to see more. I want you to be saved. You may be here tonight. I may not know you. But you know something? I want you to be saved. I want my grandchildren to be saved. I'm thankful that Jesus made a way. So while there's time and opportunity, come and get the water. You're all around the mouth of the well. Just get it. Get you a drink. If one drop could change everything, what could a cup do? I'm thankful that Jesus seen fit to take my cup and let me drink of his. I've drunk of that water, and I want you to have a drink. That's my little thought, Larry. If you got a song, we're going to give an altar call. Seek the Lord.